thank you for being.
Thank you, everyone, for listening to Thank You for Being a Podcast. We are the Golden Girls Podcast, and we watch an episode of the Golden Girls, then we recap it scene by scene, because we just want to dig in there and figure out where all those shoulder pads are coming from. I'm Anthony D'Estimito.
I'm Genevieve Rice.
And today we have an excellent, amazing guest, super funny, super awesome, awe-inspiring, the very awesome Greg Morton. Hello, Greg.
Anthony, how you doing? Genevieve, how you doing? This is fun. I really enjoyed this. No, because I don't get a chance to watch the Golden Girls that much.
Right, right.
Because it's no longer in syndication, is it?
Yeah. Well, some places it is, like, it's on Hallmark Channel, but it's if you don't have, like, certain channels, you can't really watch it.
And it's probably available in Palm Springs.
Yes.
Yes.
Just Palm Springs.
It's like a 24-hour Golden Girls.
It is, right?
That's hilarious. GGTV. That's what it's called.
Love it.
So we usually start off by asking our guests, like, what is their Golden Girls background? How has Golden Girls shaped or destroyed their lives? So, Greg, tell us, how has Golden Girls existed in your past?
Usually channel flipping. Surfing, you watch a bit of that, you get caught up in it, and the next thing you know, you've watched the whole episode of Golden Girls.
Right.
And had a couple of laughs. It's always a good show.
Right, right.
And I'm really surprised, like, watching it, how well it's held up.
Right, right. The jokes were really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very.
We were just talking about how it holds up to this day.
Yeah, right? as my husband Jeff said, it ages well.
All right. So we do a synopsis of the episode, but did you want me to do it since you're recapping?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. We're switching roles a little bit.
Yeah.
So
oh, okay.
Usually, bear with us.
Yeah.
So this is new for you guys. Okay.
So usually I recap and Genevieve does the synopsis. So we're going to switch off.
So I'll ask you, Anthony, would you like to give us a recap?
Yes, I would. Okay.
All right.
So in this episode, it is called Love Rose. And Rose is convinced by Dorothy and Blanche to submit to a personals ad. Nobody answers her ad, so Blanche and Dorothy decide to make up a man to sort of make her feel better and be her love interest pen pal, if you will. And also Sophia is stalked by a 90-year-old man.
90-year-old Englishman.
An Englishman, yes. All right.
All right. You guys ready to get into it?
All right.
All right. Okay, so we start out the episode. Sophia pulls up in a cab.
Right. And it almost crashes into that. Again.
Yeah.
Into...
yeah, just like the last episode, as you guys will hear, people are not careful with their cars. And
for the past few episodes, when somebody pulls up to the house, they almost hit the garage.
Right.
Even if it's a cab, apparently. So that happened.
Well, but it's because it's based in Florida, and a lot of the drivers are from New Jersey. And they're the worst drivers on the planet, right?
I thought I saw Jersey plates on that cab. I knew it.
It was at least New Jersey in spirit. So Sophia comes in. Rose is sitting down on the couch, and she asks Sophia if her card game ran late. And Sophia says that she got on the wrong bus. She said, I got on the number 10 bus. Basically didn't know that it changed routes. And
she accused them of changing the route, but she'd gone on the wrong bus by accident.
Yes. Okay.
She's right. Like, they changed the number 7 to the number 10 and didn't even tell me.
Yeah. So Rose is asking where she was ending up. And she's like, well, I just know that it was somewhere where no one spoke English. And, oh God, what was the rest of the quote?
And I was personally accused of being responsible for the Bay of Pigs.
Yes.
Okay. So what country area was she in? What subculture?
Cuba.
Yeah. Cuba?
Yes.
So she ended up in Cuba. Or in a Cuban district. Or in a very Cuban neighborhood.
I think that's all of Miami.
Yeah. She was a block away. And took a cab back. She said she got... Okay, this is what I didn't get. She said she took the cab back, but then... She said she took the bus back.
She
came in a cab.
I think she
something's happening.
I think she took a cab somewhere illegal. I think something went wrong with that card game.
Yeah,
she had to get some money somehow.
So she was like, "We'll go sell some drugs somewhere down in the Cuban district of Miami."
But I've had that happen before, where the bus system, the transit system, is so messed up that the only way to get out of it is to just insert your own transit, right? Just call a cab and just get me out of here,
right?
Like it's an escape pod, right?
Yeah, this last resort, call a cab, get out of there. People are accusing you.
Have you ever been trapped in a bad neighborhood?
Not kind of just trapped and far away from my hotel room, and I had to take a cab back. But it wasn't a bad neighborhood. Mm-hmm. I felt safe because I'm Mexican. So I'm like, okay. I blend in, but I probably shouldn't be here. I have a man purse.
Oh.
I probably should get out.
I decided to ride the bus one time when I was visiting central Massachusetts. And I didn't know the area and I didn't have a car. And I thought, they didn't have Uber. And I'm like, I'm going to save some money if I take this bus system. And I was just like... You could take the bus system. It'll be so much easier. You'll save so much money. It'll be great. And just from start to finish, just, I don't belong there. Even the bus driver tells me, he goes, you don't belong here.
Wow.
And I'm like.
The bus driver?
I was bad at it. I didn't bring exact change. Like I had I don't know. It was bad. I was.
Well, did you make it out? What happened?
I did. I figured it out. I persevered.
That's what you have to do in those cases, right?
I had to persevere, but I was just like, God, I'm not. It's going to be $60 to make this trip in a cab. It'd be $2. Right. I gotta do it.
There's a reason it's $2. You're risking your life.
I do belong on this bus, and I'm going to make it known.
You're like the backwards Rosa Parks. I belong in this shitty bus. I'll sit in the back. Hopefully no one gropes me.
That's hilarious.
But Rose is on, she's going through.
Wait,
her...
I gotta tell my story.
Tell us your bus story. Sorry.
Okay, now one time I was at a. Oh, yeah. I did a gig with another person, and they didn't want to take me all the way into the city, into New York. So they dropped me off, and I had to, kind of finagle my way on the transit system. Well, I ended up, the subway shut down, and I was stuck in Brooklyn.
Oh.
And so I called a cab. I got a cab. I tried to hail a cab in Brooklyn. And I stood there for like a half hour trying to get a cab back into the city. Uh-huh. Then I decided I'll just cross the street. And I realized that I was standing on the wrong side of the street. Everybody thought I was going into Brooklyn rather than going out of Brooklyn.
Oh, wow.
And because I was black, nobody would pick me up.
To go into Brooklyn.
No. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Wow. Oh, my God.
But you got a cab on the other side.
And this
side.
Was like 3 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, wow.
And I'm trying to get back into the city.
Wow.
Yeah.
I was waiting for a cab once in the gay neighborhood at 3 in the morning in my younger days. And the van pulled up, and I think he thought I was like a male prostitute. And I was like,
he pulled up in a van.
Yeah,
it was like
an old white guy.
It has like taxi, and written in a marker on the side.
we'll work for blowjobs. Did not take that van taxi. Made it home safe.
Good choice.
Took a Sunrise cab.
Okay, so. Yeah, Rose is like, Sophia is like, yeah, well, maybe I did get lost, but I'm going to call David Horowitz and have him complain about David Hartman's dentist.
So he was a commentator in the 80s, I assume.
David Leibovitz was a political activist.
Okay.
Yeah.
But he was a conservative. He was like,
he started out leftist and then became conservative, apparently.
It's so weird when around people do that time. So weird when people do that. They're like, oh, I'll make more money this way. Oh, I'll change my beliefs.
I think his parents were both like communist. I think he just had enough of communism or something. I think he just was like, yeah, I guess I'll just vote for Reagan now.
Wow. Wow. What an about face. Right? That sounds like some kind of Jedi mind trick or something like that. How does that happen when you have an about face like that?
It's not good.
No. And what happens next?
Okay. So Dorothy comes in and she asks if she can borrow some jewelry from Rose because she has a date. And yeah, and Rose is like, yeah, you can borrow it. I'm just going to stay home and organize my recipe box.
Which is lame to do. I mean, she could get ice cream, watch a movie, have fun. She doesn't have to, you know.
I don't know. She reminded of old recipes she has. I mean, she's got some interest. She's made some weird dishes on this show. I bet she's got, oh, this has herring. I could do this and I could do that. I'm kind of excited for.
Okay. Yeah. To each their own.
And then Blanche comes in and wants to borrow something because she has a date.
She wanted to borrow Pearl. She didn't say, can I borrow? She was like, I'm borrowing. She's straight up.
Yeah, she's.
Yeah. This episode is full of borrowing things from each other without asking and assuming. I'm just going to say a little bit of boundaries.
That's the whole show, really, if we're going to be honest.
Yeah. And Blanche always has a date, too.
Always has a date. Dorothy, this is a rare moment where Dorothy has a date. Usually she's the one that like gets left out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So basically, Rose is like, nope, don't have a date. And Blanche is like, well, you know, you're just going through a dry spell.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're just.
And suggests that she should think, oh, have you ever thought about advertising? And then Rose is like, I can never dress the way you do. Great joke.
Some of my wool skirts don't have lining, so I have to wear underwear.
I love that joke.
It was great.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So, yeah. And Dorothy's like, yeah, why don't you do it? I mean, the community center has a free newsletter, you know? Like, it has a free newsletter. You can place a free ad. You can add a photo. You can add 100 words for free.
You get to write, like, full sentences in this. And have your photo. Like, that's really... Yeah, I called this earlier the Tinder of the 80s. This is...
Right?
And then this... Yeah, and then this kind of is, like... I feel like this episode is kind of like a precursor to You've Got Mail.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It definitely... Like, I was like, something, a switch is going to happen or something. I don't know, but go on.
Yeah.
No, I was going to say too, is that, you know, you can tell it's the 80s because no one would read 100 words today.
Yeah.
That's way too many words. They would just have a picture, couple of things, and that's it.
Yeah.
It'd be very brief.
Today, it's like everyone types a TLTR, too long to read.
Right.
On the blog. Back then, you read the whole thing.
Right, right.
Right.
Social media completely changed. Feature changes everything.
Yeah. But Rose is, she's reluctant. She doesn't want to, she's like, well, you know, it seems fine, but I couldn't imagine going out with a man I met that way. And Blanche is like, well, desperate times call for desperate measures. She makes it sound like Rose is like the only woman in Miami who doesn't have a date.
Right. She says that, like, I'm not the only woman the woman in Miami that has a date. Sophia comes in. Like, I need to borrow a scarf. And she's like, why? Do you have a date? And she's like, no, I'm doing the seven scarves.
The dance of the seven scarves. I'm missing one.
And I'm missing one. But what is the dance of the seven scarves? Is that like a play or a musical or something? Or did we not Google this?
You looking at me very intently and I have no idea.
I did not. Okay, I will Google it. Dance
of the seven scarves.
Isn't it like some sort of... It's an old Russian dance or something like that? Or The Dance of the Seven Scarves? Let's see.
Let's see. Dance of the Seven Scarves is a term used to refer to the dance performed by Salome before Herod Antipas. That didn't tell me much.
No, I think I'm way off on that one.
Oh, it's like a...
Oh, that...
It's like a 19th century dance. It is an elaboration on the biblical story of the execution of John the Baptist.
Oh, that.
So
do they just wear scarves, or is there like?
The woman's wearing tons of scarves. She's drenched in scarves.
Seven
scarves. Oh, the Dance of the Seven Veils. Oh.
Dance of the Seven Veils.
Yeah, this is what I got. Okay, so it's a biblical term. Dance that they made a dance. It's a Bible dance. There you go.
Old Testament or no? I'm just kidding. So, of course, it's Old Testament.
Probably old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Point is,
it sounds like the Jews would do it. So
Rose is the only one that doesn't have anything going on.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Beside what's in her recipe box. So anyway, she decides to place the ad. And then a couple weeks later, she comes to the kitchen and she seems kind of anxious and she's wondering if there's any more mail today. And Blanche, of course, says, you know, well, I mean, if you can believe it, you know, People magazine is still pretty bit late. So I'm going to have to try to give that postman a talking to.
We skipped over this part where like, Blanche was really rude to Rose about her being single and was you've gone so long without a man.
Yeah.
And that was so mean. Like, the only person I know that's gone longer without a man
was
Heather
Swain.
Yeah. And then she ended up going to the hospital for Kraut?
The sanitarium for the croup.
For the croup.
Yeah.
But everybody knew it was a social disease, which is like gonorrhea. And so she just compared Rose. That was confusing to me, because if she hasn't had the company of a man for a long time, how did she get that STD?
Exactly.
So I didn't understand that.
Well, she had the social disease. She got it from being in the company of men too often.
Okay, so that makes no sense.
This is a joke about
Rose not... Well, she references that because of Rose, like, inability to get banged. Anyway.
All right,
Rose is the older one, right?
No, Rose is the one that is written
to. That's right. Sophia is the older one.
Yeah, Sophia is the older one.
And okay, I got it, Rose. Okay, I got it. Right. Sometimes I get confused.
It's okay.
All right. So basically, Rose, some time has passed. She's not getting enough letters. She's kind of upset about it.
She's really upset.
Yeah, she's just like, you would be. Like, I mean, it's been 2 weeks since she placed the ad.
She didn't even want to place
it.
She didn't even want to place those ads, and she's all butthurt about it.
Yeah.
Which later on, I don't get why she's butthurt, but go on.
No, I mean, well, you know, she's a pretty lady. Mm-hmm. She's like, well, I haven't been putting myself out there. Now she's putting herself out there, and she's not getting a response.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but later on, she gets a response, and she's like, well, I'm not going to meet him. And I'm like, what? Like, you were so butthurt about it. Why won't you meet him? So I don't understand that.
She wants what she can't have.
She doesn't want what she can have.
The heart wants what it wants. Logistically within the story, it doesn't really make sense.
Right, because she's like super butthurt about not getting a response. And then later on when she gets that letter, she's like, are you going to go on? They're like, Rose and Blanche are like, are you going to go on a date with him? And she's like, no, I would never do that. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what?
But
this makes no sense.
In a way, though, it kind of does. Because your ego would kick in. You'd go like, what? What do you mean? Like, those letters that we wrote aren't good enough?
So she wanted
part of you insert yourself when you write a letter like that. So part of you is kind of offended, even though you shouldn't be, because you made up this whole fictitious thing.
See, that's what is wrong with people today. They want... They want someone to like them.
Yes.
So you reject them. Mm-hmm. And that's why people lead.
It's called negging.
It's negging. It's leading someone on. Right.
Right.
She totally like had no intention of dating this man until she actually got a response. Mm-hmm. And then she fell in love. And then bam, she's the one that got heartbroken.
But doesn't that make sense? Okay. Yeah. Now, if you make a. When you make a commitment in a relationship, you have an investment. And if there's always that fear of rejection. If that mm-hmm. happens, if I deny that, then I never have to fear rejection. Mm-hmm. If I just don't even participate mm-hmm. in the dance, then there is no rejection. There is no hurt feelings. Mm-hmm. And I can go on back to my comfortable space.
Right. No, yeah. That does make sense because you're afraid. So you right. just push away.
Yeah, she's just... Yeah, that's
she's time. Motivated by fear. And yeah, that, exactly. initially, yeah.
This whole episode should have been called The Fear of Rose's Life, Love Life. Rose's Fearfulness. There you go. I nailed it.
You got it. Yeah, so, but she's not getting a response, but Sophia has a stalker, apparently. She has... She's afraid yeah. this man with a fedora is following her around.
And an ascot, which he never wears.
He doesn't wear the fedora
she
either.
She describes him with a fedora and an ascot. She describes him with an ascot twice in this episode. And he never wears an ascot. Mm-hmm. But she even says, do you have your head in your ascot? And he's not even wearing one. I'm like... That's what got me about that guy.
You're killing me.
Okay.
That's someone who really takes his jokes literally.
But here's a few things.
Costumes. They remember to put the black tie on that guy.
Yeah.
But they won't put the ascot on
yeah,
that guy.
Yeah, just one ascot.
Yeah.
Get me wardrobe. I want wardrobe in here.
That actor was probably a dick. He was like, I'm not wearing this fruity thing.
He has a no ascot clause.
Right. This was not in the deal.
All right, so a little bit about this guy. His name is Willie. He's English. Right. They met at the center. Let's see. He's 90 years old.
Right.
Right. And then Sophia is like, she keeps making these old jokes about him, about how he remembers when Arch Ferdinand Duke something was shot, which is a...
A World War One reference, the shot heard round the world.
Right, and it's off that joke like where you do well that whole trope. Do you remember where you were when JF Kennedy got shot?
Exactly.
But he's like 90 years old, and Sophia's 82 years old. Mm-hmm. So I'm like,
he's got the profile of Tom Turkey.
Tom Turkey. Who's that? Is that a turkey? The actual like turkey?
I think it's a cartoon turkey. I think it's a mascot. I think it's a mascot or like a logo. His butt hits his heels when he walks.
I thought it was perfect imagery. Like, I really like right. that. The Tom Turkey thing. The first thing I thought of was the neck. I pictured the neck kind of warbling around yeah. all this, these fleshy
That's
bits.
That's why he needs a mascot you know? To cover yeah, his, yeah. like, turkey, yeah. ball, turkey
he
balls.
Could use,
yeah.
He could use an ascot. She was envisioning one.
Just to keep all that
Maybe
together.
Maybe she saw an ascot on him. Like it never existed. She just didn't want to look at that turkey neck of his.
Yeah, Sophia tells Rose that she can have Willie, her stalker.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can have him.
Hilarious. He's yours. Hilarious.
Right. She should have gotten him.
And Rose thinks about it a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's having...
But he's a gold digger, as it turns out. Spoiler alert, guys.
Yeah, sorry. Willie's not great.
If you're going to watch this halfway through the podcast. But, Rose has no money either.
Yeah.
No. None of these women. Oh, Blanche. There you go.
I think Willie is kind of shit out of luck.
I like what
90-year-old gold digger. That's insane. It's like really like how much like are you that broke at night? Like I mean, you could be broke at 90, but do you really need a lot of money to
I don't know. But Sophia doesn't want to get... Sorry, because she says, I feel no sparks.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, yeah. That was great. Yeah.
And that's when Blanche is like, I could never date a man without if I didn't have sparks. And then Dorothy does that joke about, you always keep flints in your bra.
Blanche looks proud.
Proud?
She's like, I do.
I thought she was going to pull out all these flints out of her bra.
I love that. She embraces it. Isn't that great?
And every time somebody calls her like a slut or anything, right, she's like... She owns it.
Yeah.
Owns it. Yeah.
I think that's why you love her, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or the writers didn't write her a reaction, and so she just goes with, yeah.
So you
proud. That was, yeah.
Proud.
Yeah. But back to Rose. She's
in
so
the script,
depressed.
It's like quotation marks, slut proud. Slut proud.
Now, was she like that in the first season?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was she? Like, oh, so they really nailed the character then. It was like
she
very well
it.
Defined. Yeah.
They nailed the character, all right.
Right. She'll do like.
Oh, you said that with pride.
Like Dorothy will call her a slut, and she'll do like this laugh, like, and then the next line.
And then the look. Yeah.
Yeah. Then you move on with the story.
Very funny. Very funny. We need more tramps in
we do.
Modern television.
Right. Especially funny simple. Ones.
Yeah, funny ones.
Funny, different ones.
Bring back the funny tramps.
Yeah, yeah. The Blanche Devereaux of today. Mm-hmm. No more reality. We want Blanches.
But Rose says she hasn't been this depressed since she was rejected by Uncle Sam.
Oh, yeah.
And, of course, Blanche says that, well, he's your uncle. It wasn't meant to be. God. It's not like he's your cousin. You can see a future.
Right. And then Dorothy's like, were your relatives in Deliverance, Blanche? Great joke. But she wanted to be
an AWOC. Like basically
an army woman.
Yeah.
Nurse. Caretaker.
Yeah. But she failed the inkblot test.
Because she cut them out instead.
Yeah.
I love that joke.
Yeah. Great joke.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wouldn't let her in either. I'm like,
we have to reuse those cards.
Yeah. You've ruined this for everybody. You've ruined it.
To take a test like that, too, it's such a rudimentary level. Or, you know, like a grade school level where you're cutting things out. And...
It's like, have you not seen MASH? We don't have a lot of money. Those guys are always begging for equipment. Get the fuck out of here.
But how did she... So I assume that if she had to cut those out, it would have been easier if she folded them in the middle and then cut around the lines.
You know what?
Right?
It's their fault for leaving her alone. You're supposed to hold it up and you're supposed to say what you feel.
She's like,
time to fucking
I
think
cut
about
out
it.
Satan.
Yay. Yeah. So anyway, Rose gets so upset, she storms out of the kitchen, and Blanche and Dorothy are trying to figure out a way like to make her feel better. And,
oh yeah, Blanche is like, I'll give her one of my discards.
She
has
so
a pile of discards.
She says discards like so naturally, and she's like, I know. I'll give her Henry Barnes. He's good looking. He drives a Buick Riviera. He just opened a third dry cleaning store in Boca Raton. And then you could feel her like get more excited. She's like
getting turned on.
Well,
like,
these are one of my,
a Boca Raton laundromat. Must fuck this guy.
New Buick Riviera.
Well, these are one of her A discards, right? It's not just any discard.
She has many discards.
Yeah, so she's like, tell Rose to call Bud Needham instead.
In a baseball card perspective, you know?
It sounds like a baseball player.
It does,
player.
It does.
Coming
right.
up to the plate, Bud Needham.
I'll give her my Bud Needham card. I don't need it. I don't need my Bud Needham card. And it's still a good card.
You need him, Bud. You need him.
All right. So the next scene, Blanche and Dorothy are out in the lanai, and they're playing gin. And Blanche is talking about how she wants Marla to do her hair, but she's known Jackie before the buffon. which is a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She saw. She it's says Buffon like it's like an era of her life.
It
before
is.
Buffon.
Buffon was a very serious hair era in our nation's time. North America's time, I should say, since you're Canadian. Right. So.
But they it's like a, they kind of talk about it like it's a historical, like a movement.
Fashion milestone.
We lost a lot of hairspray to that hairdo.
What are you talking? Never mind the ozone layer, right?
It was like the March on Washington, the Buffon.
Yeah.
It was before all that happened. She's known her since then.
I like how they live in Florida and they're always wearing sweaters.
It
doesn't matter what time of year, they're always wearing sweaters.
Thank you. And I have a theory on that.
Okay.
Is that they don't want to show like their aging hands or arms.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the creases and the liver spots and stuff like that.
God.
This is what I think. I don't know.
You wear like loose linen clothes and...
Yeah.
I mean, they do that sometimes, like afghans.
So it's protection from the sun, basically, because
maybe
you get more sunspots, right? If you're
right, but all the time sweaters.
Oh, it's comical to me.
Big wraps.
It's comical
over wraps. It's just too much. I am overwhelmed.
We're all overwhelmed. Well, basically, Blanche asked Dorothy to switch places and have her take the appointment with Jackie.
Mm-hmm.
And Dorothy's like, "Didn't you say that it makes that she cuts your hair so you make look like a chicken?"
Mm-hmm.
And of course, Blanche says, "Well, with your nose, you can take it."
It'll probably work out.
And then Rose rushes in. She's very excited. She's gotten a letter. She's gotten a response.
Yeah, a long letter. She had 2 pages.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a lot of writing.
Yeah.
This is before typing, mm-hmm. really.
Okay.
No, it's not before typing, but it's like, it's not typed. It's handwritten.
This is before typing. After typing, of course. I don't think Blanche knows how to type. She's probably shorthand written.
Longhand.
Well, it's going to be from a guy. Yeah. It's going to be from
a
guy in 1985.
Right. But if you think about their age group, though, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they wrote letters more at that time. Right. You know, now...
No, it does
even in the
happen.
80s, I don't think people wrote them. Well, no, they did still write letters.
Yeah.
They probably weren't as extensive as that, you know.
Right.
But that was your cheapest form of communication. You get on the phone, you get long distance. Mm-hmm. I mean, that takes
25
forever.
25 cents... well, the stamp wasn't even 25 cents back then. It was like 9 cents. And so that's how much it costs to talk to someone.
Exactly.
Yeah, it was way cheaper.
You could really catch up on a lot.
And you could and you're uninterrupted. Like you can say it all out. It was great.
Mm-hmm.
I remember writing letters. I had a pen pal when I was little. I think.
When's the last time you guys have written a letter to somebody?
My friend Ashley, I wrote her a letter in Flagstaff, and we said we're going to write letters to each other, but then I wrote her one first and she never wrote me back. So I think I was like 21. So it was like 6 years ago. I write letters.
That's cute, right?
When I give someone a gift, like over the mail, I'll write them a letter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I wrote thank you cards for my wedding.
Mm-hmm. Those are letters.
And I thanked them for gifts they did not give me, like a giraffe. And
yeah.
Was it all the letters? What do you mean? Like in the alphabet?
God. spoiler, that joke happens.
That later. Joke happens later on. Okay, I have a theory about Blanche writing these letters.
Oh, she hasn't confessed yet.
Okay. What's that?
Okay. So.
Oh, she hasn't confessed yet.
Okay. So basically, like, Rose is excited because, you know, it seems like this guy and her have a lot in common. Like, he likes all dairy foods.
Oh, I love that.
All
line.
Dairy and foods.
He wanted to stand next to Bert
Just
Parks.
Cheese, milk, anything. If it's like shit covered in cheese, he's down. All dairy foods. This guy.
Yeah, and he also went to stand next to Burt Parks during Hands Across America.
Okay, Hands Across America. Did that happen? Okay, I googled it. That happened like 5 months ago.
Yeah,
but from this date, from 1980, it was a
very topical joke.
Yeah, very topical joke, because this happened. This episode came out December 1986, and that happened May 1986.
Nice.
So it was just right out of the gate from the news. What they did was they tried to lock hands across the United States for hunger. It was hunger, not just.
We thought it might be AIDS.
But
we thought it might be hunger and AIDS.
But nobody wanted to hold hands with somebody with AIDS back then. So.
Was that true? No, you said that with such conviction. I believed you. And I was from that time, so
I think maybe back then it was true, because like
it's probably true.
Yeah, there I was bet that you, right?
There I'll was a little you. Kid that had AIDS or HIV, and they wouldn't let him in the pool, in like what, early 90s.
Yeah,
and they were like, "We're gonna get HIV if he goes in the pool," and
yeah,
they had to educate everybody. So it was probably hunger. Okay.
Yeah, but Rose.
Okay, can I talk?
Yeah, sure.
Mention this a little bit.
Sure.
Okay, it was a failed. It failed.
Yeah.
Hands Across America.
I didn't do it. Yeah. I was alive during the time, and I didn't. No. My parents didn't even mention it to me.
There was like maybe 12 states that participated. There was huge gaps in the hands linking.
Right. That, I remember that.
Yeah, there was like a mile long gaps. There wasn't enough people. In Phoenix, Arizona, was probably the worst. They're like, however, desert areas like Phoenix, Arizona, were mostly empty, dotted with 1 mile long chains of people. Truck drivers sounded their horns during the appointed time. I'm assuming it's because they were in the way.
And didn't they have like, wouldn't they hold like pieces of rope or something to kind of fill those gaps? I seem maybe to recall they, something like that.
Right, that would make sense if they did that.
Skipping rope.
Hands Across America,
well,
people.
Didn't, like, actually, the fundraising part of it worked pretty well, but it was just like the actual physical.
They
like,
raised
like,
millions
hands,
of dollars.
Hands part did not work. People were like, "Yeah, there's, I don't
because
know."
Because it cost $10 to join in the hand holding.
Did it really?
Mm-hmm.
That's okay, that's why. Said. That's why we did not. Okay, that's why the Rice family was not there.
$10 to hold a hand? What? We can do that for free.
$40 in 1986.
But we'll just stand here and hold hands,
thank
kids.
You.
But I guess in theory, it should have worked, right? If you think about the number of people in the country, and you got everybody together.
Right.
The problem is, where do they park their car?
Right.
It should have been Cars Across America. That's cars what it should have been.
Cars.
Everybody could park. They could sit in the comfort of their own vehicle.
Right.
It's like a large drive-in. That's what
that
it would be like.
That would have been, because that was the first thing I was thinking, like, where did they park?
Well, people don't people brainstorm this shit. Yeah. That's
people
why things like that happen.
People have to walk to the areas where there's none.
Right.
Or be like, hey, can I squeeze in here? And then they're like, what? We have to all move down.
Mm-hmm.
It probably created a lot of fights.
So it was Fist Across America.
America.
Hands are still involved.
Yeah. Well, that's the main thing.
So Rose, they have a lot in common. She's excited about it, but she just, Blanche and Dorothy ask if she's going to call him, and she's like, oh, no, he's sweet.
That's what got me. I was
just, I'm just going to write a letter back and tell him he's nice. I know. It was...
The problem with America.
What, Anthony?
They can't hold hands, and they want just to be worshipped. They just want... They want to get, not give in relationships.
Oh, yeah.
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 Like, she wants that guy to, like... She wants someone to like her, but she doesn't want to put... She doesn't want to like him. People.
Explain further.
Like we discussed this a little bit,
okay.
But like Rose wants someone to like her. She's upset that no one's like written her, but then when somebody does write her, she has nothing to do with him. Mm-hmm. Right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's messed up. So she deserves what she gets.
But, I mean, it's just a letter. Though, right. I mean, it is a two-page handwritten letter.
Right. Well, you notice, though, when people, some people just love to complain. Mm-hmm. You know, and they'll go like, oh, my life, it's terrible, it sucks. Mm-hmm. I just wish, and then someone comes along, well, you know, I have a solution. You could do A, B, C, mm-hmm. and D. And they go like, oh, no, it's okay.
Right.
Because that would require effort.
To do something.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
People are actually more comfortable
being uncomfortable.
Right. They like being a victim.
Yeah.
Right.
But it turns out it's okay. Because Blanche confesses that she wrote the letter.
Right.
To Dorothy. And Dorothy is pretty shocked.
She does. So she confesses, and Dorothy, for some reason, though, joins in. Like, then the very next scene, they're like writing to her in the kitchen, well, she's, out in the open.
I mean, it sounds like she needs some help. It sounds like Blanche, she's got... His name is Isaac Newton. That's the first name she could think of. Actually, she said the first name she really thought of was Ted Koppel. But apparently he looks like Howdy Doody's illegitimate son.
Right. Which I guess back then, maybe he did.
I don't know.
When he was younger, when he had red hair.
He had very big ears, Ted Koppel. Big ears.
Yeah. I'd say he's an odd-looking man, but I think he's kind of dashing.
Right.
In a howdy doody sort of way.
Yeah, he is. He really is. Mm-hmm.
Minus the freckles.
What? Okay.
My point is, you could do worse than Ted Koppel.
Yeah, Ted Koppel, he's rich. Hello. Isaac Newton's dead.
He's smart. Nightline was amazing.
I don't get that when Dorothy and her are in the kitchen in the next scene. Dorothy's like joining in. Dorothy should have stopped this. I don't know why she let Blanche get out of hand at writing these letters and actually started helping her. And also, like, I have this theory.
Dorothy's an English teacher.
She needs to spell check.
Yeah, she's like, you need help. She sees this as a creative writing opportunity.
And so, okay, so I have a theory that Blanche wanted to write to Rose the whole time. Because she just wants to express, like, her emotions. like she maybe has some sort of crush on Rose and wanted to use a vessel to tell her how she feels. Are you with me?
Wow.
Where did you find that subtext?
You
must have went in the basement for that.
Well, like they kept, they, she like at the end she was like,
she did suggest the personal ad.
She was like, mm-hmm. through the door. She was like, I meant every word that I said.
Yeah.
And then, so I was like,
oh my god.
And so I was like, well, how, knowing Blanche, things probably got risque in those letters. So it's probably like.
Right.
Because
right.
She's so sexual. And right. So she probably was like, I want to, you know, push you on a bed and just rip your bra off.
And then
lick your chest, put cheese on it.
She did talk about all dairy products.
Wait a minute, Anthony, you skipped several layers of clothing before you got to the bra. I mean, come on, let's face it. You've got it. First, I take off your sweater. Then I take off your other sweater. Then I take off the sweater. That's
take off your wool skirt. Take off your slip underneath your wool skirt.
Right? You've got to have the slip. You've got to have the slip.
It's a bad line.
Before you even get to the bra, there's the slip. The Spanx.
Before Spanx.
Unfurl that girdle.
Yeah. Well, that's really interesting. You know, I can almost entertain that.
It could have happened. I don't know. It's a far-fetched idea, but like I can't imagine Blanche.
Can you
not
support
writing.
Your theory with future episodes of Golden Girls? Can you
Let's
back
see.
That up?
We'll see.
Okay.
we're
a thesis
we're
in the
watch.
Progress.
I will try.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Okay. Blanche Rose, watch. Yeah.
Rose watch.
We're going to watch to see if Rose looks at, or Blanche checks out Rose.
All right. All right.
Then Sophia comes in, doesn't she? She's like,
Sophia comes in and she gives an update about Willie and basically says that she
told... You ain't getting this.
Yeah, she's like, basically at 90, there's nothing between us and there's never going to be anything between us. And he goes...
Because she's 80, like, that's like not a... I mean, that's normal for an 80-year-old to date a 90-year-old. She's like,
in her mind,
you're 90? Deal breaker. Like...
Like... Yeah, you're robbing the cradle, son.
Yeah. Look at this. This 80-year-old, like, sugar baby body.
And she tells him never, and he's like, well, not never, but a little, like, with a little luck, every 6 to 7 weeks.
But I got
to
say that it does make a lot of sense, though, because, you know, women around that age, when you have that kind of freedom, you go like, oh, my God, this is great. I don't have to take care of anyone.
Right.
For the first time in my life, I don't have to take care of anyone.
Right.
So when you see someone's 90 years old, you go, eventually, I'm going to have to take care of this person.
Yes. Yeah.
In like a week.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Like now.
And from a male's perspective, it's like, oh, I've hit the gold mine.
I have to wash his ass cuts.
She can load the dishwasher.
Only I can
see. She can do, Yeah, she can do my laundry. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I have the cleanest fedoras that he doesn't wear.
Especially from that generation.
It's expected.
It's expected.
Yeah.
It's demanded.
And then Rose, isn't that when Rose... No, Rose...
Rose comes in and she says that she wants to meet... She wants to meet Isaac Newton.
Blanche puts that purple pan between her boobs. Did you see that?
Yeah.
When she comes in, when Rose comes in... Like, she hides the notes, puts her arms on it, and then shoves that pen between her boobs. It was great. I love that.
Force of habit.
Right. She's like, a phallic object between boobs. There you go.
I've got the perfect hiding place, y'all.
This
right
is
between
what
my little
this
my
is
boobs.
What I'll do to you, Rose, later on.
We're going to play a little game of ink the pan.
I'm going to put my purple pen between your boobs later.
Time to double dip.
Do you want to cut out my ink blot? Okay, so she wants to meet him because he's so special. She decided that after all, that she really wants to meet him. And then she leaves.
And Dorothy's face is so great. She snarls. Mm-hmm. She snarls at Blanche.
Bea Arthur is her best face actress.
Yes. Her faces are priceless.
And of course, Blanche is like, well, how do you spell Saskatchewan?
But she just flips the page like she's just going to like write behind the page she was writing.
We're gonna reuse paper.
Rose won't read it if I put an X through it. It's fine.
That was a great choice too. Saskatchewan.
Somebody must
be a Warner Brothers fan.
You're gonna tell us about
somebody
Saskatchewan.
Must be a Warner Brothers fan from that. Well, Saskatchewan is in the Midwest of Midwestern Canada. It's in between Alberta and Manitoba.
Okay.
Actually, you know what's interesting? My mother was born in Saskatchewan.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. And it's primarily, it's a wheat province. They do a lot of wheat harvesting there. It's very primarily agricultural. Now it's a lot of potash and oil. That province is booming. But it's very flat. You know,
it's prairie land.
Yeah, it's prairie. Yeah.
Is there farming in there?
Yeah.
So there would be orange citrus farmers there.
Citrus farming is basically like just that's Florida. All but like Florida and California and here. Yeah. Like it's you have to be very warm. It has to be a very
Hence the joke.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And I don't know where orange trees.
Because Alberta is in the middle of the country, and then Saskatchewan is right next to it to the west.
Right.
Right.
Say that again.
To the it's to the.
Now you're confusing me, and I'm Canadian.
Alberta
is to the west. That's right.
Okay.
And Manitoba is to the east.
Okay.
East of Saskatchewan. That's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. No worries.
And then what happens after? I think the next scene, they're getting ready to go to the banquet.
They're getting all fancy. They're all dressed up. They're
sequenced out. Like, it's crazy.
They're going to a black tie reception.
Right.
Yeah. And
they're borrowing each other's things. They're no all, boundaries.
Always. And they all have dates. They all mention they have dates.
All of them have dates except for Sophia. But then she gets a date.
Sophia says she can't get a date because Willie has scared off all the prospects at the community center.
What is that guy doing? Like, threatening them?
Probably.
Don't you go out with Sophia or I'll kill you. Like,
he's 90 and she was afraid that he was going to show up in the backyard. Like,
that is scary.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, and then when he knocks on the door, I'm sorry, I'm jumping ahead a little bit.
Sure.
He's like, is this the home of the widow Petrillo? And I'm like, you know it's her home. You're a stalker. Come on.
He's being polite. He's like,
yes, yeah. I agreed. It's very formal.
He like came out of the bushes.
It's still the South.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, he's still a polite Englishman.
Yes.
So... And then Rose comes in. She's in her pajamas. She's not all dressed up, but she wants to borrow her pearl earrings back from Blanche because she has a date. And they're like, oh, yeah, your cousin Arnold, who you always take when you don't have a date. And she's like, no, I'm going with Isaac.
And then Blanche is rattled with jealousy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Just kidding. she's like, what?
Is this another one of your cockamamie theories?
Well, because she's in love with Rose. Same theory.
It turns out that she basically just looked in the phone book. Like she got a letter. She got a letter saying that he was going to Saskatchewan. So that letter was written. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And she was like, all right, I got to meet him. This is my last chance.
Yeah.
She found him in the phone book. And Isaac Q. Newton was listed. So she gave him a call. And
Isaac Q. Newton said,
you're going to go out with me. I have a reception. It's black tie. You don't know what that is? Okay, that's fine.
She just said, you meet me. My house, 6151 East Richmond Street. You're taking me out. She was forceful. Didn't even give him a chance to talk.
I won't take no for an answer.
And why wouldn't she be suspect? If she looked at the phone book, saw that the address didn't match the mailing sender's address of the letter she's been getting, like wouldn't that be like a tip that that's not the real Isaac?
That is true.
Or was the return address left off?
It could have been left off.
Can people do that?
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Oh.
I mean, yeah. I think that's how you do it with personal letters and stuff like that. Like,
but how would she know how to write him back?
Mm. Oh, you know
and
what?
How would mm-hmm. and Good that point. brings me a point. How would Blanche get her letters if she's mailing them somewhere else?
I know what. Basically,
there's
like,
a third party going.
Yeah, there's a like most personals have like an ombudsman. And it was like somebody that would basically you'd send letters and they'd send them to you. So you wouldn't get a letter.
So they can't break off and be like, let's give each other's real addresses to each other.
Oh, I gotcha.
Yeah.
Sort of protect yourself from people like.
From stalkers.
Yeah, right.
Like Willie.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Got that cleared out.
Got it.
Yeah.
I feel better now.
Okay, good.
I don't know how that made sense. How did he do that?
Right.
How did you make sense of all that?
Yeah. We talked ourselves into making sense.
Right.
So Isaac Newton shows up.
First, Willie shows up, and he's super kooky, crazy. And and Sophia tells him, he's like, I'm not going to take no for an answer. There's a lot of pressure in this episode of dating other people. And so she's like, well, take this for an answer. And she like touches her chin like an Italian.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That. Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, that brushes, motion.
Brushing the underside of the neck.
Right, which is basically a big F you to you.
Right.
Like, that's probably, this motion, not allowed in Italian television. Let me tell you, it's a bad word.
Yeah, how did they get away with that? Oh, but they just didn't know.
They just didn't know. It's 86.
Yeah, 86. Yeah, you probably couldn't do that now.
Right.
Right?
Right. You think that Willie is like impoverished? You think that maybe he's like living?
He's lived so long that he spent all his money.
Yeah, the hands across America did not help him. No, was not. Yeah,
yeah. So
you're never too young. You're never too old to be a gold digger.
Never too old. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Yeah.
But Sophia decides to take him anyway. She goes, okay, well, you're here. You're dressed up. I'm dressed up. All right.
You rented that monkey suit.
Yeah, exactly. Like, basically, like, but she told him to get scarce if anyone cute comes along and asks her to dance.
Oh, I love
right,
that.
Yeah. Right. And you're going to have to help me steal
that
food.
Sounded so high school, didn't it?
Well, like, she might as well have an accomplice. She's going to steal food, probably steal money off of people's coats, probably, you know, steal silverware of this banquet that shall remain nameless. By the way, never do they mention what the occasion is. The occasion is to pee in a really nice bathroom, I think.
I think, which is a nice occasion.
But hence the irony of the joke later, right? Which is, what do you mean? You're not well off. You're not wealthy. Mm-hmm. Heiress, and here he is helping her steal food off the buffet.
Right.
Like, hello, why would she be stealing stuff? When are you going to clue in here, right?
Right. She's like totally doing things that rich people won't do.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
I don't know. I think some people would do that.
I would go for the silverware. I would never go for the food.
Well, she might have had silverware hidden somewhere, mm-hmm. right?
But Sophia's in like always constantly eating. Like, she's constantly eating on the show. So
tiny little frame.
Hors d'oeuvres.
Just can't get
are
enough.
Riches.
What's that?
I think they're riches to her. Those hors d'oeuvres.
Yeah.
Yeah, like little mushroom quiches.
They just wanted to show off that Ziploc bag. They're like, look how fancy we are. But we were skipping ahead. I'm sorry. So then Isaac Newton comes in.
Which
scares me when I first see him. Mm-hmm. I thought he was a murderer. Because he's like, scary looking. He looks like a Dick Tracy, like, sidekick.
He's played by the great Paul Dooley.
Who is a great comedian.
Yeah, he's really funny. He's a very funny improviser. He's been in a lot of the Christopher Guest movies. But
Christopher Guest.
And he basically, Isaac Newton he's a boob from minute one. Like, he's not a murderer. Like, he doesn't.
Not at all.
No, but he's.
I think he's perfect for Rose because they're both dumb.
I kind of agree. I kind of feel like if they actually met, I feel like they kind of, under different circumstances, I think they would have hit it off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And who's to say that after the episode, they didn't continue their dates? Right.
Yeah.
That would have been the first Dumb and Dumber.
Right. Dumb and Dumber. Yeah. Sophia.
Right.
Sophia and Isaac go on a road trip. Rose and Isaac. I'm sorry. They go on a road trip across America and to return a briefcase full of money in Dumb and Dumber. There's the joke that I love where he's wearing like a brown suit. And then Dorothy's like, you know, it's black tie, right? And he's like, it's in my pocket. Don't worry. And then later on, he has a black tie on. He's like, I'm going to wait till the reception. And it's on. And I loved it. Yeah. Loved it.
And it's a long tie.
Yeah.
It's a long tie, right?
Yes. Wasn't
it's
even
a good
fun.
One.
Oh,
it's a
I
good
love
one.
That. I thought that was so great. It wasn't a bow tie. It was a long tie.
Like a really cheap.
And I love the other joke, too. The joke about his name. You remember that?
Yeah.
Was that shortly after that? Or what?
Basically, they were asking him, like, do you get a lot of jokes about your name? And he was like, why? Like,
he's an educator. He doesn't know who Isaac Newton is.
We also find out that he's a vice... He's a
principal.
Vice principal of a junior high.
Right.
This guy is in charge of
children. He worked there for 15
years. I
want to
do something special with my life. I want to be remembered for my name.
Oh, yeah.
As a traffic.
I want Isaac Newton to go down in history.
That's what it was. That's what it was, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Too much. This guy.
Very socially awkward, this guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And he walks like Frankenstein. He's like, doesn't want to raise his armpits.
Well, no, because he's been sweating so much.
He admits that freely. He's like, I've been sweating through my suit.
He just comes in. Okay, he lives with his mom. Yep. His mom just let him have a phone the year before. He also lives in a boarding school.
A boarding house,
which is for children, right?
No, a boarding house is like bachelors. It's like, so his mom maybe controls the boarding house?
For bachelors?
Yeah.
Oh.
Who is she? Ma Barker or what?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is like the 19th century.
Some kind of hole in the wall gang or something they got going on.
Hey, we're gonna go steal loaves of bread today. Yeah, it's so this guy. Although they get along great, and I agree that they should date. Maybe he's not the best guy for Rose. Maybe because of his situation. You know what I mean?
But when you're watching the episode, you're rooting for them to get together.
Right.
Yeah.
You are.
Isn't that funny?
It is.
I was just like, oh, sweet.
Blanche was like she had like, you know, she had hearts in her eyes about the whole situation. Mm-hmm. She was like, yeah, maybe this will work out.
This crazy thing.
Blanche and Dorothy for a while though, they were both really worried. And they wanted to tell Rose what had happened before she goes out on a date with this guy. But then they get there and he's there and he's just too much of a buffoon. And they have some things in common. Like basically, right. Like Rose asked
They're
him
both
if
both dumb.
Rose asks him if he wants any dairy to eat before they go.
And then cheese calms his nerves.
Or maybe another part of the body.
Right. Oh, cool. Ooh. Yeah. Ooh. Some Swiss cheese. Oh my God. So yeah, maybe cheese cools him off. but I love the joke when he's like, she's like, oh, my dress, I've worn it once before, but my pantyhose are new. And then he's like, I like your pantyhose. Well, the hose part.
Ah.
And I was I thought that was a little dirty. I was like, yeah. Oh, I'm going to check out the panties.
That's all right. That's Golden Girls.
It's flirting.
They get a little risque. Right?
Yes, it is.
It's 86, but that's, you know, that's pretty risque for them.
Pretty risque for that. Talk about pantyhose.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, such a girlfriend thing too, isn't it? How you would go like, well, the dress is old, but the hose is new. You know,
true.
You'd reveal those kind of secrets.
Yeah.
That would be to a girlfriend. You would never do that to a guy you just met.
Right. Well, he right off the gate starts oversharing like crazy. So for Rose to do that, he's like, All right.
I feel pretty comfortable here.
I feel at home.
Buffoon rides again.
And at that point, like, did you guys feel like, oh, no, you should take him aside.
Mm-hmm.
You should be talking to him and going like, listen, let me fill you in. You're from Saskatchewan.
Yes,
and
pretend that you should have been in that writer's room.
Right.
You should have been there.
Oh, me? I thought you were talking about...
You should have been in that writer's room.
Right.
That would have been
amazing. Like, I would have went to him and like and given him the 911. Mm. Or, oh, no, the 411, not the 911. That's an emergency. And I would have...
You can do both.
I think what happened was, though, that I think Blanche and Dorothy's dates must have come pretty soon because they went in a car together, and I think Rose and Isaac went separately, so they didn't have a chance because the next scene we see is at the reception, and they haven't seen them all evening.
Right, so they probably showed up just at that moment.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I was honestly expecting, like, either a really young guy at the door, a 24-year-old or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or like, honestly, that's what I was expecting. Or someone like him.
Yes, but really good looking, right?
Or really good looking.
Yeah.
Or some. Yeah. Or
me too.
Yeah. Like, yeah. I did not expect that at all.
I don't know. I think Paul Dooley was kind of an inspired choice.
Good. Yeah, I'm glad he was.
Well, but certainly it was better comedic choice, that's for sure, right?
Definitely. That guy was great.
Because he's just kind of goofy, and you don't dislike him. Like, I can tell you, honestly, at the end of this episode, mm-hmm. still rooting for him.
Yeah. See, now today, they wouldn't have done that. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say they should have done like a spinoff of Isaac Newton in that boarding home, just hanging out with his friends, going to be vice principal, keeping chocolate in his garage,
smoking roll your own cigarettes.
Right. He's like, I'm going to be a traffic reporter. And his mom's like, no, you can't.
He's bragging about keeping chocolates in his garage.
Yeah.
For band.
Right.
That's great.
What were you going to say?
Help refresh my memory. What was it?
We were talking about Isaac Newton.
Oh, if that happened today.
Yes, today.
I think they would have taken it in a darker direction. The guy would have turned out to be a serial killer or some crazy person that was in the news earlier that they'd heard a report. Right. We would have tied all that in. Mm-hmm. And then they would have been worried about her safety. It would have gone in a completely different direction.
Totally. I can see that.
But they went kind of fun. They kept it kind of fun and light. And...
Mm-hmm. Like, he was creepy, but he was likable.
Yes.
He was just super creepy. Yeah. He was just super creepy.
This is more like a Cyrano de Bergerac kind of plot, isn't it?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
There is the not knowing who your lover... Well, Cyrano is Isaac, and then the other guy is Blanche, the one that's really in love with Rose. I'm going back to my theory.
Right.
Yeah.
So
that fits.
Oh, and Rose is very close to Roxanne.
Oh, wow.
Right?
We did it, guys.
This is good. This is good. We got it figured out. This is the subtext of the episode.
Like, Blanche, maybe, you know, she fills her life with men to suppress her inner, like, lesbian feelings for other women. That's why she rented out a house to three women, you know? Like, she's overcompensating with all these men. But what she really wants is the... woman's touch. You heard it here first, listeners.
She just wants to be loved.
She just wants to be loved by a woman.
Men are a poor substitute. That's why she needs so many.
She's like, this isn't getting me off. I need more. If I have more men, it will happen. But the answer is right in front of you. Okay, I'm done with that.
Yeah, so
they're at the banquet.
Yeah, they're at the banquet, and things are going weird with Isaac. Basically, Rose keeps springing up the letters. He has no idea what she's talking about.
Right.
Won't explain a smudge pot to her.
Right.
Even though she's asked repeatedly.
Right.
And, yeah. Oh,
we missed the funniest thing. That's, okay. He's going to... Isaac is moving to Saskatchewan.
Sarsaparilla.
Sarsaparilla.
Oh, yeah, I got it. He's moving to Saskatchewan to become the smudge pot supervisor of the very first dome citrus farm of Saskatchewan. Good job, Blanche, for coming up with that.
They could have said California, where you can also grow oranges, right?
No, this makes him sound like he's special, like he's, right. he's a pioneer.
He's going overseas.
It's a dome.
Even though the continent is one
giant dome over a field of oranges. And then they need, it was great. It was a great joke. I loved it.
The more you break it down, the funnier it gets.
Right?
Right?
Yeah.
That's what you're saying, Anthony.
I was saying that. Yeah. Oh, man. Okay, so we're at the banquet. He won't explain what a smudge pot does.
He doesn't.
Which is, for the listeners, a smudge pot is like a furnace, a little baby furnace to mm-hmm. keep your fruit from dying in the winter, I think. Am I right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think so.
Because okay. sometimes they get cold spells down there and they get yeah, you can ruin mm-hmm. a whole crop, but by having right. those there, it keeps them warm and then the frost from
right.
from damaging the fruit. And once that happens, then it's orange juice.
Right, right.
It's no good, you know.
So no one knows how
that's
works.
What they do. Don't they use those for orange juice?
They use it, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Somewhere, Florida. It's a smudge pot capital of the... There's a smudge pot on the Florida quarter.
And then they take all of the oranges and then they boil them in a big vat. It's nice. Just a big brown mess. And then they actually they the juice, have to add food coloring to the orange juice to make it look orange.
Because it's clear or brown?
No, it's brown. It's
brown
just
because
yeah.
it's so
yeah.
smudge potted.
Yeah.
It's all burnt.
It looks like the armpits of Isaac's suit.
I imagine.
I imagine too.
Yeah. He, one thing Isaac did was he kept it well hidden. He was just like, all right.
I thought he was like a Frankenstein kind of character.
He was like a dapper Frankenstein.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was made from the limbs of other rejected sons. like Frankenstein.
Well, basically, Rose asks him to dance. She's getting more exasperated with him because
mm-hmm.
he's just not the man in the letters. And he goes, okay, I guess I'll go dance with you. And turns out he can't really dance.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's when Sophia starts stealing the food. And it turns out that Willie is a gold digger.
Yeah. Basically,
I'm saying he's a gold digger. Like he ain't messing with no Petrello.
He's like, yeah, I'm not just dating you for your money. And she's like, well, good, because I don't fucking have any. And
he is so scandalous.
I can't even keep the minimum balance of my checkbook.
He dumps her. Just
he's just like
immediately. Yeah.
Gone.
Yeah, he does. He does the English fuck you. It's just like, well, send regards to your family.
The English fuck you.
I mean, the Italian was the hand thing under the chin.
Yeah.
Yeah. English is a
oh man.
Yeah.
They and then after that they reveal, by the way, so Blanche and Dorothy have these dates that they just ignore because of this whole situation.
Howard and Robin?
Yeah, or Alec. Howard or Alec? No, or I don't know.
One of them's Howard.
One of them's Howard. But they ignore it. They just blow them off to like take care of Rose. And they actually go to Rose and they tell her the truth. After they tell him to go get champagne. And he doesn't know whether it's the one from the bottle or the punch bowl. This guy's had 50 years of life experience, like, at least. And he doesn't know
this is
what
Isaac
punch
we're talking
looks
about.
Like. Isaac, right. Yeah. Isaac.
And you know what else I loved about Isaac, too?
Mm-hmm.
The little French jokes he would make. Like, merci, that means thank you. You know, and he's so proud of himself, right?
So proud.
And it's funny, too, because it fits into the Canadian mm-hmm. thing. The Saskatchewan mm-hmm. thing, you know, right. as well.
And I don't even think...
Which is not even a bilingual province.
Right. He's like, it fits into the Canada thing. Totally.
It does.
Like, he's like, he got that job because he teaches French. Oh, he's president of the French club.
I feel like advisor.
Advisor.
It's so funny.
I imagine an eighth grader is president of the French club.
It's so funny.
Okay. I said 50, but I don't know. He doesn't look 50. He looks younger than that.
Yeah, I think he is
45
younger.
45.
I think he's like a...
He looks middle-aged to me. 50 feels about right to me.
He's one of those actors that like hit a to a certain age, he looked like the same age,
right.
And then
right,
yeah,
he just stayed that age looking.
Kind of Goofy doesn't age.
Yeah. Goofy doesn't age. Goofy is the...
Goofy don't crack. Goofy don't crack.
It's the top shelf wine of looks. That's what Goofy is.
Okay.
Goofy don't age, baby.
Because the Rose is possibly a few years older than him.
Yeah.
And so what if he saw her and he's like, mother, like I, like I'm like, he's, you know, got that Oedipus Rex complex. And he's like, well, I can bang, I can bang this out real good.
I don't know.
Mom won't let me. This person will. Just in theory.
Here Rose we go is, again.
I know. Rose is so sweet. Like, I feel like, I don't know. I feel like he doesn't.
She's very motherly.
I think regardless, he doesn't. I mean, he says she's very pretty, you know? Like, he knows, you know, he's on a date with a pretty woman.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He feels like he's won the lottery.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he never goes out. He got made fun of for going on a date by all the other guys in the boarding room.
Right.
In the boarding building. What,
boarding house.
You want to think boarding school.
Meanwhile, they're the losers.
Right. They're the losers.
Yeah, they're the ones sitting back at the boarding house.
Yeah.
Alone.
He gets to go to a banquet with a black tie.
Hello.
Yeah, no kidding.
Success.
A literal black tie.
A literal black tie. And then
yeah.
They tell Rose the truth. And then Rose gets really upset, as she should. As she should. And goes into the bathroom to cry.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's the fanciest bathroom I've ever seen.
It's fancier than that ballroom.
Because it has like a sitting room. And it's it's got like a sitting room.
We just sit there
and
listen to everybody fart.
and like little cushions, and then it's got like,
it's got that median cushion that's very Victorian.
It's like
fashioned.
It's like a
parlor kind of cushion.
Yeah, you're right.
Right.
It would evolve. Yeah, it would show up in a parlor. It's like velvet and tufted and fancy and
right.
Yeah, and
I think they just had that backstage and props, and they're like, we need to use this. Somebody write an episode where we use this.
Yeah.
It's the greatest setup for a gag, a visual gag, wasn't
yes.
it?
Yes.
I really love that.
That
I
was
thought
a
it was
great
good.
Visual
yeah.
gag.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Somebody had to sew and make that thing right. for that joke.
But at this reception, they just have that one single occupancy bathroom.
But one was out of order.
Okay. One was out of order. So they have.
Which was confusing to me.
Yes.
Because why, like, just not have one bathroom instead of having two bathrooms and one out of order? You know what
I'm
I mean?
Assuming that one would be male and one would be men's and one would be women's, no?
Because, like, it was a women's bathroom and there was two doors.
Oh.
And then one said out of order and the other one didn't. Mm. I think what happened is that they accidentally built two doors for this set. How are we going to fix this? Because they needed all the women to stand in line.
Yes, for that gag, yeah.
And for that visual gag. Mm-hmm. And so what should we do? Oh, let's just put an out of order sign because we messed up and built two doors. Or they're using like a set from a different...
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think that's it.
Yeah.
Using a set from a different
and thing. And that feels like it would be inspired by... A rest stop experience, or you know, one of those times where you go to the airport, you know, and you come off the plane and you really have to go.
Yes.
And they have all the tape and the pylons up in front of your bathroom, the one that you need to use. But of course, the one of the opposite sex, the one that belongs to the opposite sex, it's completely open. Right? Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
But all that exactly magic is at a black tie reception.
Right.
Yeah.
But good vehicle though.
Yeah, it was like, all right.
An unknown banquet.
Yeah, so Rose has locked herself in the bathroom and she's crying. And I felt so bad for all the women in line. I was like, oh, okay.
Who were, by the way, the worst extras ever?
How so?
They were just like overreacting at every... They were just like, one was literally going like this. Like touching her watch, like bewildered in the back. I was like, really? Okay.
She's what? Like, I've got to take off hose and panties.
She saw, I got a poop.
Well, this is how you get a speaking part in Hollywood.
Right.
You know, you overact in the background
You're like,
as a background player.
Right.
Hopefully, hoping that someone will discover you. Oh my God, that background person is so good.
She needs to take a shit. Get her into Three's Company.
Three's Company.
Is that still on?
No. Three's a Crowd, I think, was the spinoff.
Okay. Let's get her into Three's a Crowd. She could take a dump over there.
Get in an episode of China Beach.
Let's get her in Cheers. She can poop over there at the bar.
Cheers is a good place to poop on TV in 1986.
Yeah, Cheers is the best place to poop as an extra.
Yeah, it's a move up, right?
Definitely. In terms of pooping in a TV. And so then Rose, okay, that's when Blanche says, "I meant every word," which that's where my theory comes into play.
Well, Rose is just, she's upset. She's most upset that she thought she had someone that thought she was special. She's like, "I thought someone was special. We wanted to hear about."
I thought someone was going to bang me out tonight. A citrus farmer.
Hear about my day.
Touch my oranges.
Want to hear
my juice. Some pulp.
Operate my smudge pot.
Operate my smudge pot.
With his dome.
With his dome. He'll like all my dairy.
Keep going. Come on, Anthony.
You can put your hands all across my America.
There you
okay,
go.
Okay, I'm done.
There you go.
Done.
I like that.
Yeah.
And then she forgives them so fast.
Well, thank God. All those women so pissed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, like, basically, like, she's like, I mean, Blanthe, I'm sorry, Blanthe, Blanche and... Blanche.
You
and,
call me
no, I,
Blanche?
I
was, no, Blanthony.
No, I blorf.
You're Blanthony. You're Blanthony.
I am a Blanche. Blanche and Dorothy. I mean, they're both like, well, someone does care about you. We care about you.
In a special way.
She's like, okay, yeah, I guess that helps. And comes on out.
And then she's like, oh, Dorothy says this line, like, We did this horrible, like, we did this thing that you should be really mad that we did, but it was out of friendship. And I'm like, you're not good friends. You shouldn't have done that. Your definition of friendship is not a good one, Dorothy and Blanche. Like, you guys, that's messed up.
They were trying to get her confidence back up, because that was just the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But we did miss his scene. Isaac comes in.
Oh, yes, he comes
in. He comes in because they've been in there a while, and he goes, yeah, and that's, and they're like, what are you doing here? This is the women's restroom, and he looks over, he eyes the velvet settee, little couch thing.
And he thinks that it's a toilet, like a big toilet for everybody, and he does that joke, Isaac does that joke, like, this must be hard to lift, to, oh, you must have to stand back.
When you flush it. Yeah.
When you flush it.
When you flush it, because it's so big and powerful.
So silly.
You're going to seat six people at that thing?
Yes.
Yeah.
Simultaneously. Six women just doing their business.
This is a big night for Isaac. Yeah.
Like, you get to leave that.
This is how women go to the bathroom.
He's learning so much.
It's a community affair. It's not much different than our boarding house.
This man teaches our children.
And they have a similar toilet in his boarding house. That'd be crazy. Yes.
But it's more of a watering trough, really. It's more.
It's where.
Yeah,
it's where you just
communally.
You lick. You lap the water into your mouth. Mm-hmm. And then Rose forgives them when she comes out, and everything is good. And then. And she's like, and then Blanche right away, she's like, well, let's get back to our dates, because you don't have one, Rose, but our lives must go on.
She has a date?
Isaac, yeah, but...
She technically has a warm body there with her.
I bet they banged.
She's paid...
I bet they banged.
I bet you're right.
She's like, I might as well do this. Mm-hmm. Oh, man. And then, then Blanche is like, the last joke. She's like, I want Howard to get me tipsy and take advantage of me in front of all these women.
Yeah, very loudly. Staring. And Dorothy says, that's my date.
And she's like, and, oops.
And she does the slut shrug.
The make slut shrug.
Yep. And the episode closes.
Yeah. It ends. Yay.
Yay.
That was a good episode.
We did it.
Yeah. It was fun.
That was great. Yeah. Thank you, Greg, so much for being here. So this episode of TIFFBAP, thank you for being a podcast, as an acronym is TIFFBAP, comes out on June 3rd. And so do you have any shows after that that you would like to plug? Maybe your Twitter account so people can find you?
I don't know if I can remember that into the or that far into the future. Oh, I think I'm going to be in Seattle at the end of June.
Cool.
And June the 3rd, I think I might be in Akron.
Akron.
I'm not sure.
Ohio?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right, so Ohio listeners, check the Greg
and Golden Girl Lovers
and Golden Girl Lovers.
Yeah,
check Greg Morton out in Akron, Ohio. And where can people find you online? It's
GregMorton.com, or you can follow me on Twitter at Greg Morton Comic.
Nice, yeah. And thank you. And Genevieve, where are you going to be after June 3rd? Okay. Where can people find you online?
On June 4th, I'm going to be co-hosting the Pep Rally with Matt Storrs.
Mm-hmm.
It's at the Lawn Gnome. It's a variety show, and it's the theme is going to be yes.
Yes means yes.
It's yes means yes. It's a great show. I had so much fun.
That rally is fun.
Yeah. And then June 20th, a Saturday, we're going to be doing the next Snark show at the Taffy Room at Stand Up Scottsdale.
Nice.
And basically that's going to be, if you guys aren't familiar with the Snark Show, it's half roast, half stand-up. We have a panel of writers that basically write comments about stand-ups throughout the show, and the host reads them.
Such a fun show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So.
And yeah. You're at?
I'm at Genevieve Rice on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter. So.
Cool. Nice.
Yeah.
Nicely done.
And I will be at the Cork Lounge June 3rd. At 7 p.m. doing a live podcast called Any Questions? And it's the audience gets to interview the guests, and I will be interviewed by the audience of the Cork Lounge. Also on that show, I'm excited, is that girl who won a treadmill on The Price is Right, but she's wheelchair bound.
She
will be on that show, and I'm very excited.
That's very cool. That's very cool.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's like stiff competition for you.
Right. This is, yeah, like what are they going to ask me? I hope I go first.
30 years from now, that will be a Hands Across America reference.
Yeah. Price is Right. They've had some weird stuff go on. There was like a girl... one of the models revealed the price of a car. And so she had to buy someone a car.
She had to buy someone a car?
Yeah, she had to buy it. Because basically it was like she was supposed to, it was like a guessing game. And and then she revealed the actual price.
The actual, how did she do that? Just took too many numbers off? Or?
I think it was like she was supposed to, it was like you were supposed to guess. I forget. It was like, but she revealed it like. Like they were supposed to guess it, and then she was supposed to pull away a tab that had the description or something, and it pulled away the price.
Is that in the contract of the models? Like if you mess up, you have to buy that object for the guest?
I think so. I don't.
That doesn't seem fair.
That does not seem fair.
That's just a wardrobe malfunction. It's kind of the same sort of thing.
Maybe she offered to buy it.
I think she may have offered, or the producers probably bought it.
That could be.
Okay. That seems a little steep. Poor model. Just trying to make it by.
Because they don't get paid a lot, do they?
She's making Prices Right money.
Is that good?
Oh, I guess Price is Right money.
Well, if the price is right, then okay, she'll buy a car.
She has to guess all the prices.
What am I getting paid?
She has to play.
How much am I getting paid? Is it more than $1?
She has to play the Price is Right,
is
but then
it
donate.
Higher or lower?
Just kidding. You get gropes.
And you can find me at Anthony DeSimito on Instagram and Twitter, along with our individual Twitters and stuff. The podcast also has a Twitter. It's Thank You For Being a Podcast, but as an acronym, TYFBAP, TIFBAP, at TIFBAP on Twitter and Instagram also. You can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/ Thank You For Being a Podcast, Stitcher, iTunes, or any platform you use to listen to us today. The next episode is episode 11 of season 2, and it's called "'Twas the Nightmare Before Christmas." Right, this is before the movie. Golden Girls did it first. Who knows? Maybe there'll be some claymation. Who knows? All right. Thank you guys for listening.
Well, I hope it taps into your theory. That's right. What I'm hoping.
Into my theories.
All right.
Well, Goth kids will be into it.
Goth kids.
You. Thank you, Genevieve. And thank you, Blanthony.
Blanthony.
I really appreciate that you having me on the podcast.
Thank you.
Thank you, Greg.
I'm such a slut.
I'm such a slut. Right.
Gonna stuff a chicken. Gonna stuff a chicken. Like my mama taught me. Like my mama taught me. Gonna take the chicken.